Well, I'm so excited to share a meal with you guys in just a little bit and to just spend some time being thankful to the Lord for everything that he's done. I don't know about you, but I just woke up today determining to be thankful. It's something that God's been working in me quite a bit recently, just to be thankful about the things that are the ordinary, extraordinary. You know, the things like being able to sleep indoors, the things like being able to sleep on something other than a hard floor, being able to have food on my table every night, being able to have more than one change of clothes, being able to have kids that are in good health and a wife that usually loves me pretty good, you know. Sometimes she even likes me if I do it right, you know. I'm just kidding. She's amazing. The Lord is granted her incredible grace to love me and to stay married to me for all these years. But I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. This morning in our time of prayer, our corporate prayer, we had the opportunity to share three things that we were thankful for with somebody around us. And I just thought back to 20 years ago when the Lord touched my life in a powerful way and my life was forever changed and I'll never be the same ever again. And I'm so thankful for that moment in time. I'm so thankful for that encounter because if I followed the path that I was on, my goodness, I don't know where I would be, but it would not be a good place. And I'm just so thankful for an encounter with God. And I pray that my kids, that your kids, that you as an individual, if you have not had a life-changing encounter with the God of the universe, I pray that you have that encounter, whether it be today or someday real soon. I pray that you have that kind of encounter because your life will never be the same in a better way. I promise you. Well, I'm Pastor Jake. I'm the lead pastor of this church. And like I said, I'm going to have to believe the Lord to be able to preach a 45-minute message or a 40-minute message in about 14 minutes. So Lord God, help me because I need you. And so we're going to preach today for just a little while. And then we're going to have some fellowship time and we're going to eat together. I'm so excited for that because I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. Well, if you would like the title for your message today, the title of the message is Giving the Gift of Life. If you're following along with the notes today, you're going to find that there's some sections that aren't going to just be a fill in the blank, but it's going to be a little bit of a section where you can fill in your own stuff because I'm going to give you some things that won't be on the screens. However, those of you that may not have a Bible or an electronic Bible, the things will be up on the screen as well as most of the fill in the blanks will be there for those of you that are participating in our small groups. I do want to give a plug very quickly in my short amount of time to preach to you that small groups are coming up quick and we are so excited about it. We want everybody to be a part of a small group. Why? Because that's where you're going to find connection. That's where people are going to pray for you. That's where people are going to be able to know your needs, to meet your needs, and so that you can find a great place to be able to connect to other people that love God in the way that you do. So make it a point that you find a small group when that comes up at the beginning of this coming year, and plug into that with all of your heart. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Well, I'm talking to you today about giving the gift of life. I don't know about you, but there's a number of people that write on their license, driver's license, they have a thing on there that says organ donor. And we hear about how awesome it is to give the gift of life by giving your organs. Well, that is an amazing thing. I want to talk to you today about how you can give the gift of life every day using one organ. It's amazing. And God's going to talk to you today through that one organ. You know what that organ is? It's a G-rated organ, by the way. It's the one that's right inside your face. It's called your tongue. And we're going to talk about how you can give the gift of life through that. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, in the New King James Version of the Bible, it says it this way, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You know, if you grew up anything like me, you didn't hear this one. What you heard is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. In fact, if you believe the Bible, and I just happen to believe the Bible, it's completely the other way around. Sticks and stones might bruise you and break your bones, but words could actually kill you. And it's important to know that words are incredibly powerful. I don't use this version very much, but I like the way that it said it, so I'm going to read it to you. In the Message version of the Bible, that same verse says this, "Words kill, words give life. They are either poison or fruit. You choose." I like having a choice. I like having a choice. I was just talking to Pastor Ron, and he and Pastor Sharon just got back from an incredible trip to Japan, and they went to an ice cream shop that had, correct me if I'm wrong, 165 flavors, something like that, 165 flavors. Now, I thought 31 flavors was pretty intense, but 165 flavors, my first thought was the line must have been stupid long because you have to make 165 choices of yes or no. I mean, give me one choice, vanilla, chocolate, which one you want, you know? But 165 choices, do you know that with your words, you have a choice of how you're going to use them? They can either bring life or they can bring death. They'll either give life or they will be a poison or they will be a fruit. You choose how you use the organ that's in your face. Do you know that the whole basis, the whole theological basis for this is simply this, that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and it's not in your notes, but you can just reference it if you want to, the Bible says that you are made in the image of God. God said, and he decided, I'm going to make human beings in my image, after my likeness. That means, that word's in his image, that means alike in every detail. And when God created you in his image, the other thing that happened is that he gave you his abilities and his qualities to be able to have your words act like his words. How does his words work? It works like this. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, you'll find it that God said a number of times in the book of Genesis, and God said, let there be light. You know what happened when God said, let there be light? Light was. It happened. Do you know that that same quality is what God put in you so that when you speak, creation happens? It's either poison or it's fruit. You choose. And I think that it is important. It's a common phrase now to hear this. Words matter. How many of you have heard that recently? Words matter. Not just word choice matters, but words matter. I think when we choose the words that we're going to use, we ought to choose them carefully. We ought to say things that are either going to be fruit or they're going to be poison, but let's be intentional about what we choose to let come out of our mouth. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What does this mean? Do you know that the word carnal is a word that when you go back in its roots, that like carne asada, right? That's like some kind of steak. I know we're talking about food again, but it's like steak. It's marinated steak. Carne is usually refers to meat. So when it talks about carnal, it's talking about the flesh. It's talking actually about the unregenerate nature of man. The nature that's subject to not only Satan, but the effects of sin and death in our life. The only time that the Bible ever uses the word carnal is in conjunction with a Christian. Nobody that's not a Christian can be carnal. They are just unregenerate. They're not born again. But somebody who's born again and is supposed to be a Christian can still live by the old nature. I don't know about you, but I've done that a fair bit in my life. I gave my life to Jesus and lived by the old man. I lived by the old habits. I lived by the old ways. I lived by the old mindsets. I lived by the old words that used to come out of my mouth. And I didn't let God grab a hold of that for a while. But thank God I made a choice to make a change in my life. And God's going to be on board with you when you do that. So to be carnally minded, to have your mind wrapped around the things that they've always been wrapped around with, to have your mind thinking about people and circumstances in an unregenerate way, in not God's perspective, is death. But to think about it in a spiritual way, with God's mind, God's eyes, and God's heart, that is life, and it is peace. So, check this out. How you see people matters. How you see them, not if you see them, not what you see in them, it's how you see people. How you see people matters, and it will determine what comes out of your mouth. I think one of the greatest prayers that we can pray is, God, help me to see different. Help me to see people different. How you see them will change everything and will determine what comes out of your mouth. I need to go really quickly, which I'm not really being successful at doing, but I'm going to try. I want to talk to you about three people that God declared greatness over. The first one, and this is where, if you're following along in the notes, you're going to want to go ahead and fill in the blanks over here just on some of the characteristics that God declared over these people. The first one that God declared greatness over was Mary. The mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, because there were a lot of Marys, you know, Auntie Mary. There were lots of Marys back in the time. But this Mary, the mother of Jesus, before she was the mother of Jesus, this guy named Gabriel shows up. We're coming into the holiday season. You should know this story. So this guy named Gabriel, an angel, shows up and says, he says to her, "Blessed are you among women, Mary." There was nothing really all that special about Mary. She was just a young girl. She was probably a young teenager at the time. And Gabriel, she hadn't accomplished anything special in the world. And he shows up and said, "Blessed are you among women." What a statement of greatness that wasn't seen yet. He called her highly favored of the Lord. And then after that, then he said this. He said, "The Lord is with you." You know, in response to these things that Gabriel said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was afraid. She was like, "What is going on? Why is God, through an angel, talking to me like this? Am I about to die?" But God was simply declaring greatness over Mary. How many of you know that Mary was pretty great? Amen. She availed herself to the plan of God in her life. If there's nothing else that anybody does, if you don't do anything else in your life except avail yourself to the plan of God in your life, I promise you, greatness is upon you. Here's the second guy that I got to talk to you about very briefly. His name is Gideon. And you'll find that reference in Judges chapter 6. And I'm specifically referring to verses 11 and 12. What you find out is that Gideon did some things. He tore down some altars of the people that were around him. And then he's hiding inside of a wine press. He's hiding there, threshing some wheat and some grain. And an angel comes to him. There's a theme coming up here. So an angel comes to him, and he greets Gideon, who's hiding in the wine press, threshing this grain. And he approaches him, and he says, "Mighty man of valor." Mighty men of valor don't hide. They stand up tall. They make themselves known, but not Gideon. He's hiding in the wine press. He was scared, and yet the angel addresses him, "Mighty man of valor." And then he says this, "The Lord is with you." You know that even if you appear one way when the Lord is with you, all bets are off. Anything is liable to happen when the Lord is with you. I want to tell you that it did not appear that Gideon was a mighty man. He's hiding, and yet God saw past that and said, "Mighty man of valor." Here's one more that I want to share with you today. There's example after example in the Bible, but I'm just pulling out three of them. This one is about Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, you can read it on your own time. What God did was, this guy's name was not Abraham to begin with. His name was Abram. And Abram means exalted father. But God changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. And Abraham, do you know how many children he had at the time? This many. Zero. He had no children. How are you going to be the father of many nations when you have no children? But God looked past that and said, "I'm changing your name." He didn't even just declare it to him. He changed his name. He said, "Don't go by that old name anymore. I'm changing your name to Abraham so that you will be the father of many nations even before having a child." Then God called him fruitful. He said, "You are going to be fruitful." And there was no evidence of fruitfulness. The dude was 99 years old. Things don't work the same way that they used to when you was 20-something years old, if you know what I mean. The Bible says that he didn't look upon the deadness of his own body. In other words, parts was not working. But God looked past all of that and he said, "You're fruitful Abraham. There was no evidence of that at all. And then not only that, but God began to declare that the generations that would come after Abraham would belong to God and would be God's people. That's what's called calling greatness out of somebody that isn't already a parent. It's really easy to say to somebody who's already got a leadership position, oh, you're going to be a leader. Come on, that's not even prophesying. You don't need any faith for that. You're just saying what you already see. You need faith to get past what you do see. I want to ask you this. What words are you giving and saying to the people around you? What words are you saying to yourself? Not talking about just self-talk, but when you look in the mirror, what is it that you see in yourself? What is it that you see and what is it that you say? I want to ask you this. Are you declaring greatness over one another? Parents, are you declaring greatness over your kids? Kids, if you think your parents suck, try declaring greatness over your parents. Are you declaring greatness over your boss? Are you declaring greatness over your employees? Are you declaring greatness over your partners? What are you doing with your mouth? Remember, life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's either fruit or it's poison. You choose how it goes. You know, it's so easy to see the shortcomings. Am I right? It's so easy to see the shortcomings of the people around us and get filled with negativity about the people around us. You don't even know the person driving in the next car next to you, but you know that they're an idiot. Am I right? Like, you know they're an idiot driver. That's why you stay away from them. You know that you don't trust them. That's why you watch them. You put them in your mirrors, whatever. You're constantly looking over. You don't even know them, but you're negative because, see, when you go to Costco Evile, I was telling my sister-in-law this the other day. When I go to Costco Evile, I put my boots on. Why? Because of the little Asian lady that's gonna run my heel over 3 times in the same aisle. Be prepared. You can get so filled with negativity about the situation that we begin to let that negativity come out of our mouth. Now, I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about declaring words that are spirit and their life. I'm talking about what you allow to come out of your mouth as fruit or poison. Which one is it going to be? Yeah. It's important because beyond what you think about how important words are, you might have grown up with, like I did, sticks and stones may break your bones. But you know what? We got to get a whole new appreciation for the power of our words. As we kind of get closing today, because I don't have enough time to get through everything, I want to ask you if you would help me out a little bit. Actually, help yourself out. I'm going to ask you to do something that's maybe just a little bit uncomfortable, but it's going to change your life. I want to ask you if you would do this with me. Would you look at somebody? Don't do it right now. Just listen to the instructions first and then do it. I want you to look at the person next to you, just one person next to you. And I want you to look at them, and I want you to really look at them. Look past what you normally see. Look past just the outward appearance. Look past the clothes that they're wearing. Look past the makeup or not makeup. Look past what you already normally see. What do you really see? And I want to ask you to take the time to look into the treasure that you haven't identified and that you haven't drawn attention to in maybe a long time. Maybe if you're not sitting next to your spouse, maybe you better go sit next to your spouse for this one. If you're not married, that's all right. Or maybe you're just sitting next to some random person. Use the gift of God that's in you to look past the surface. And I want you to look at them, and with all sincerity, I want you to tell them what you really see. Will you do that? All right, it's going to take some boldness. I want you to do that. I'm going to just pause right now. I'm just going to put myself on pause. I want you to look to the person next to you. Just choose a side, any side. Look past what you always see, and I want you to tell them what you really see in them. Go. Isn't it amazing that when you look around the room, there's tears and there's smiles, that there's a reaction that comes from the poison or the fruit? And I think what you gave to somebody today is some fruit. isn't it great how that can bring a smile to someone's face? Maybe you've not done that in a while, but I want to challenge you to begin to do that. Amen. With the people around you. What if I told you, and I'm landing this plane, I promise you, what if I told you that this exercise was more about your eyes than it is about the person that you're looking at? It's true. It's about how you see. It's not about who's there. It's about how you see. Remember, looking at someone carnally will show you their negatives. It'll show you their failures. It'll show you their shortcomings, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and His glorious standard. But when we begin to look at people through the eyes of the Spirit of God, I want to tell you that there is not one person in this room that God thinks ill of. There is not one person in this room that says there is no hope for you. There is not one person in this room or watching around the world that God says there is nothing that I can do with this. Remember, God started with nothing, and He spoke into the darkness, and there was light. You got to understand that your words are full of poison or they're full of fruit, and you've got to choose what it is that you're going to do. I want to point you to one last scripture, and I'm going to close. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 18, in the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this: "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." You know, most of us look at the law, even the law of God, and we're like, man, what a bummer. Tells me everything that I can't do. No, you know what it does? It gives you a prescription for how to live life always above. See, you gotta open your eyes. You gotta have a supernatural opening of your eyes to see wondrous things of everything that other people say is rubbish. When everybody says it's horrible, no, it's not horrible, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. God opened my eyes to see wondrous things. When other people declare nasty things over the people around you, God opened my eyes to see the wondrous thing that's in them. When you look at your spouse and maybe you've been consumed about the negative things, about them leaving the cabinet door open so it pokes you in the eye, no, you got to stop right there. And you got to say, God, show me the wondrous things that I can see. What if it's more about your eye than it is about what's in front of you and the person that's in front of you? I want to challenge you today to do this the way that God did it. Your words, your tongue, your life is more powerful than you think. You want to begin to give the gift of life? You don't have to die in order to do that. You can give one organ every day, the organ of your tongue, to begin to form words that call greatness out of people. You can use that organ that's in your face to bring life and to bring peace to the people around you. You can use that thing that's in your face to declare goodness and mercy and truth over people. I'm telling you, when you start declaring greatness over people, greatness will come out of them. When you begin to declare greatness over people, even if they're not great, you're going to start to see the greatness that's on the inside of them, because you'll convince yourself that they're great. I want to give you one thing, just one thing. My jot for the week, just one thing. Would you please, I beg you to please do this. This week, will you please call out greatness in those around you? Call it out. I mean, if you're going to call somebody out, call them out on greatness. Man, you're better than this. You're better than the performance that you're having. And I can see that there's greatness in you. As a couple of thoughts, what greatness can you see in your spouse, in your children, in your boss, in your pastors, in your parents, in your friends? What greatness can you see? And if you cannot see the greatness, I ask you, I beg you to pray that prayer. Oh God, open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things, the wondrous things in the person that's standing in front of me. Would you bow your heads and your hearts as I just pray over you this week? Father, I pray that even as we go into a time of celebrating Thanksgiving, Father, I pray that we would begin to see the wondrous things of your kingdom. God, that we would use this organ that's inside of our face before we die to bring greatness out of people. Father, that we would use the organ of our tongue to form words that are fruit and not poison, and that we would cause that life and peace would come to the people that hear the words that come out of our mouth. God, you said about Jesus that no one spoke any more gracious words than he. God, let the word of God that comes out of our mouth, the destiny and the declaration of greatness over people, be so gracious that people's lives would be changed by the words that come out of our mouth. I speak blessing and increase and the ability to see as you see over the people in this church in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen.